It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Just to start off
it's
the show.
It's so unfair. It really is unfair. Oh, Roberto just knifes us and then we can't fight back because we go on the air. It is two pros and a cup of Joe. Is Lee stealing coffee?
Yes.
By the way, next to two cops. By the way, next to two cops in the building and Lee stealing coffee from another.
He's taking coffee from the Sleep Number station here at Radio Row.
Well, technically, he has his own coffee.
Looked like he was doing something illegal. He looked back at the cops.
This is amazing. He's definitely in their trace.
Right outside from where he's at, they have a Keurig machine, which is what he's using.
Oh, yeah.
They literally have one for everyone to use right outside. Well,
that's why the Dr. Dre music is so fitting right now, right? He over there thugging.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app, and you can find us on hundreds of affiliates all across the country and wherever the hell you are, making us a part of your Wednesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific. We are live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl in Arizona, and of course, we do this show live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there, an unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Tire Rack.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just want to smash someone's skull in when I hear that.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, LeBron James.
He smashed it.
Yeah.
Record gone.
Yeah. LeBron James, your brand new scoring champion, everybody.
How about it?
And it was a big celebration last night for the Lakers and LeBron James, and a big win for the Oh, no, they still lost.
I was about to say, didn't they lose?
Point being, LeBron broke the record, and that's really all that matters at this point in time. He's the all-time scoring leader in NBA history.
That's quite a feat.
Hey, for a guy who had all that hype coming into his career.
He surpassed it.
Surpassed all of it.
100%.
And so you bust balls and tease him, and you know Laker fans get upset about it. But fact remains, an incredible career, and we got a brand-new scoring champion as he surpasses Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was on hand.
He was in attendance, chilling. He was real laid back.
I'm happy for him, man. I really am. And I think you said it best, Jonas. Like, every single step of his career, I mean, he hasn't gotten in trouble. He hasn't had a bunch of stuff out there. I mean, the most controversial decision he ever made was the decision.
Right.
Where he decided after, by the way, raising millions of dollars for charity to go to Miami. And I think if he just phrases it different, he's probably not getting any flack for that either. He learned how to win there. He came back to Cleveland, won a championship. He goes to L.A., wins a championship, or as you say, half of one, however you want to view that.
About to half. I mean, listen.
He has been arguably not Jordan, right? And then no one will ever be Jordan, but he's right there after that. As far as, to me at least. Now, granted, he was, you know, my year in high school and all that. And he, I still remember we were trying to recruit him to play in that U.S. Army All-American game. Mm. He was so good. Like, he played his junior year, but he didn't play football his senior year because it was too much of a risk. And I remember Tom Lemming?
Yeah.
Tom Lemming was like, oh, yeah, we're calling LeBron. We're thinking he might just show up, get ready to throw pass to LeBron James. And I was like, this dude is out of his mind. But he's been incredible. I personally think he's the greatest, I'll say, athlete that the NBA has ever seen.
Mm. I mean, it's hard to take anything away from what he did. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar set the bar so high in terms of scoring. Like, that was a record that probably people felt like would never fall, ever. Like, there's no way anyone would get to that amount of points. So to that, I mean, he's the best. He has earned the statistical category that probably matters the most out of anything, which is scoring.
And he's never been considered a scorer.
It's pretty
just
interesting.
An all-around player, but yet now he's the scoring champion. I heard a stat: only 8 times in his career has he not scored double digits in a game. Think about that. In 20 years, 20 plus years, 8 times his entire career, he hasn't reached 10 points.
Yeah, like, man, that's, you got to give him his flowers today. Like you said, Q, a lot of people may have things to say one way or the other, the whole shut up and dribble or the decision or whatever it may be.
What about only reading the first page of a book?
The book.
That's actually right up there with, I'm like, come on, man.
I mean, when you're to the level that LeBron James is of influencer, everybody's going to have something to say about you. I mean, that's just what comes along with the nature of the beast of where we are with you know, how quickly media gets out. But, you know, in some regards, you have to assume, and we always, you know, I think it's such an honor in itself to when you talk about LeBron, you're going to bring up Michael Jordan. Like, people are going to bring him up because it's always the comparison and the gauge and the barometer. First and foremost, whether you fall on the side of him being better or Mike being better, it's still a debate. It's still something right. that's worth bringing up, which right. in itself is crazy. But the idea that LeBron James has done it in an era where I would say it's the most difficult era to stay focused. It's the most difficult era to achieve because things are moving so fast. Development is so different than what it's ever been. And that's something to be said that LeBron James has really been an anomaly of sorts, because there's no way of understanding, you know, how he's been able to be the type of player that he's been for as long as he's been, you know.
Durability, yeah. too.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He's never had that, you know, season-ending injury.
Yeah. I mean, look at the way he's built, though.
You know, I heard someone say the other day, and that was kind of where I said the athlete.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've ever seen a basketball player built and look and be like him. Someone brought this up the other day, though, and they kind of said, like, what's his go-to shot? Like, you kind of can go through some of the greatest scorers, like Kareem, obviously, with the skyhook or whatever.
Yeah, the hook.
You know, Jordan
had,
you know,
that, like, fadeaway.
Like, yeah, it was like almost like a turnaround.
Yeah.
Nowitzki, who was up there probably amongst that group, had that step back, right?
Yeah, the
right?
step back dip.
So here's, let me give you a list of guys. And by the way, I don't know that LeBron has that signature shot, which is like an interesting point. Someone else brought that up, can't remember who. But it is interesting if you sit there and think about it. You're like, oh, yeah.
Even Harden's got the step back.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's known for.
Right.
LeBron.
As the all-time leading scorer, and I don't, maybe that's a good thing because he's so versatile that he doesn't need to have a one shot that he's known for. But it is kind of interesting that, like, I don't know that you think about any particular part of his game and go, that's it, as a scorer. But he can do it all. Let me give you a list of the guys who are still active who you could maybe say would have a shot at catching it. And I don't know if anyone does, because LeBron's, what, 38, turning 39. He's got, what, 38,390 points now. So the next active player that's close, and I don't think has a shot, is Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah,
he's at 28. He's 10,000 less.
He's not going to get it.
No.
Same draft class, too, by the
same
way.
Class.
So no chance.
And if you were to ask anybody, better scorer, Carmelo or LeBron, everybody would say Carmelo.
Well, prolific scorer, but I don't know.
Like, as far as score,
Better scorer in college, Carmelo or LeBron?
That's a great
Carmelo.
Point.
Carmelo's got him in college.
I mean, yeah. I would put Jerry McNamara ahead of both of them. But again, you know, we're splitting hairs here.
Well, I'll put Doug Gottlieb in front of all of them.
There you go. So the next active player that has a shot, and it's not much of one, I don't think, is Kevin Durant. Now, he's 4 years younger, 26,684.
No
so
chance.
He's 12,000 points off that. All right, I'll keep going.
He doesn't play enough.
James Harden.
No chance.
33, and he's 14,000 points away from it. Right below him is Russell Westbrook, which I don't think there's a shot there.
Yeah, no chance.
The only one that's kind of interesting.
Steph Curry?
Is Steph Curry.
Where is he at?
He's way behind.
Yeah.
21,000 points, and now he is 33, I believe. But he'd have to play for or 34, actually. So he'd have to play at least for 6-7 more years. And LeBron would have to, like, retire now.
Yeah, and LeBron's got at least a couple of more years. He wants to play with his son. Yeah, he wants to play with his son. So he's going to be, he'll be at 40,000, probably. So the idea, it's one of those records going to see.
That's what I say. I don't think we're ever going to see someone in our lifetime maybe beat it.
Never.
It's going to take a solid 2 decades of scoring to get there. And I don't know that – maybe you'd say Luka, who's not even on the top 40 of that list, obviously, at this point. Maybe he's the guy you look at and say, how old's Luka now? 25, 26?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
But health and
– body-wise, all that. You know, there's been some questions about
– oh, he doesn't look durable?
He likes to lick the lid a little bit, you know. Likes to get after it, have a couple
of beers. Lick the lid.
Yeah, bend the elbow.
Lick the lid.
Yeah.
You are a funny
lube
dude.
Lube up your liver.
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
A couple of throat bombs.
Because
I
don't even know there's a lid when you drink. What's the lid?
Did you just say that?
A couple of throat bombs.
Is that allowed?
Throat bomb.
What do you mean? Throat bomb. It's like ripping a beer. See, this is the problem. You guys are from California. You don't get it. In the Midwest, that's how we talk. But again, not everybody's from the Midwest.
It's funny.
I'm just telling you, man.
Your isms.
Are you able to get away with that?
What are you talking about? Throat bomb?
Is this safe harbor?
First of all, I'm talking about beer, all right? I'm not talking about.
I've gotten dumped for far less.
Far less.
And wasn't talking about anything but what I was talking about. But you know.
Look at Lee all happy over there. He got away from the cops. Yeah. He stole coffee from Sleep Number.
Lee, you stole coffee in front of cops.
Here's the irony. He did catch Sleep Number sleeping. Like, no one's there right now. So he was able to slide in.
It's a good point.
Take away.
It's a really solid point.
I hope to God they've got a camera over there. They're just checking and going,
who is this?
This guy.
Oh, my God. You may have just thought of a new invention for them.
A
bed with a camera.
Sleep Number cam.
Now they'll be playing that back.
There you go.
That was coming handy for a lot of things.
Make your own. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying it would.
Yeah. You make your own entertainment.
You could. Definitely.
With the throat bombs.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I drew first blood out in here, boy. They call me Rambo.
LeVar, you look lighter.
Oh, man, feel good. Somebody's got to bake the loaves, you know what I mean? somebody's got to provide. I'll tell you what. The lives are very clean right now, but I drew first blood today.
By the way, this coffee is brutal.
That bad boy. That's rocket fuel for real.
Yeah. I got the Colombian kind. Yeah, this is straight from a toilet in Medellin. Let me tell you
Look at that.
Now.
Leave and I didn't realize that's what you wrote on there.
Yeah. Oh, you did write it on there.
Yeah, you wrote on there.
It was hard because it's got the wavy.
It looks kind of artsy though.
Huh.
It's kind of like our Burt Reynolds Hotel.
Yeah.
That is true. I didn't realize what I was looking at till day two.
Yeah.
I picked my eyes up. I was like, wait, what the?
Dude, I was moving stuff around in my room, like creating a whole different layout. So,
by the way, Burt Reynolds, that guy, impressive numbers.
Well, yeah, you know.
Impressive numbers. Here we go. Just saying.
You've always been enamored with Burt Reynolds.
No, I'm a big fan of the Cannonball Run.
Oh, that's right?
Growing up.
I thought you were a big fan of
his cannon. It's a classic movie, you know.
Cannonball Run's a great movie.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know what they probably went to in the Cannonball Run? Like, this is probably some of these scenes that were not included, which should have been included. They probably went to Tire Rack. You know, and we are bringing this show to you live from the Tire Rack studios.
Yeah.
TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. So you know who else was in the Cannonball Run? Terry Bradshaw. Remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw was in the Cannonball Run. And Terry Bradshaw was also speaking with 92.5 in Denver about Russell Wilson. And, well, he had this to say.
We're from Denver.
Yeah.
Your coworker.
I'm so mad at him.
Why? Come on. We all saw this coming. When did you know? When did you
really
know?
Well, I knew maybe, perhaps. Sean knew. We hung with him.
Yes.
We drank beer. He drank my whiskey. And we would talk, and he would talk and talk and talk. And I'd say, well, you can't go to Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's the NFC South. You can't go to Houston. They don't have a quarterback down there. You don't want to be in Houston. Where else could he have gone?
Arizona.
Arizona, no, that quarterback. You don't want to work with that quarterback.
Would you rather work with Russ?
I don't think so, but you know what? That's all he's got.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
he's got no choice, but I'll tell you one thing. He'll get the most out of him.
So Terry Bradshaw.
So they're going to the isolation.
You know who that is. That's my guy, Vic Lombardi. That's my guy, Vic Lombardi, out there in Denver, 92.5.
He's been covering the NFL for, what, 30-something years?
Forever. Yeah. He does a tremendous job. But him, Mike Kliss does a great job following the team. But
that's funny,
okay,
man.
So let me throw this out to you guys as a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I mean, we need the music.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
We need the unsolved mysteries. Yeah.
Do we get it, though, for a conspiracy theory with another AFC West team?
Yes.
Birdo? Yeah,
okay,
of course.
I just didn't know if Birdo's.
Yeah, it's right there. Absolutely. You see Robert Stack through the fog.
He's got a trench coat on.
Oh, yeah.
So does Burt Reynolds, but he's not wearing anything underneath it.
Yeah.
Just a cowboy hat.
So we heard Sean Payton right out the gate set the tone and talk about how there's not going to be people who are outside the organization coming in as far as Russell Wilson's team.
What do you say?
There's not going to be an office and all that stuff. Like out the gate, he's saying that, making a statement to the public, putting out there. We then hear Terry Bradshaw say this. Now, I'll remind you guys too, like those guys were all close. They worked together for this past year, this past season. And one of the things that I think I took away from all of this is Sean Payton was even kind of leaving you some breadcrumbs.
Oh.
Like 2 weeks before, he was wearing an orange tie, and someone had asked him, hey, was that maybe prophetic of what was going to happen? He's like, yeah, there was an intent behind that.
Oh.
He's a very calculated guy. How do you kind of put it out there that maybe, you know, you're taking this job, but you're not all about the guy who's currently there? You let other people do it for you.
Huh. That is true.
I'm just saying, like, what he's savvy enough to be able to say. And by the way, we all know Terry. He's awesome. One of the best in television. We all know people. If Terry would said it, two people would be like, "Well, it's Terry. Come on, it's Terry Bradshaw. He says this crazy stuff all the time." But maybe this time, like, there's a little bit of, "Hey, Terry, why don't you help me out with something here?"
He knew. Like, that was a direct conversation that they had had. And it sounded like they had had it a couple of different times.
I mean, he established the fact that he drinks his whiskey. And when you're drinking whiskey, somebody's whiskey that made it and they're there and your colleagues, you're going to talk.
Yeah.
Like, he put that light. Like, basically, if you deciphered and read between the lines, he said, Russ stinks. You stink. Like, think about it. Like, but he's got no choice. Like, and the biggest indictment of the whole thing was Kyler Murray. Like, he don't want to work with him. So Russ is considerably the least of the evils of the ones you don't want to work with.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's how Terry Bradshaw put it.
It was weird how Terry kind of was like, oh, you don't want to go in the NFC South. You don't want to go to Carolina. Like, I was like, why? Doesn't that division seem ripe for the taking? If Tom Brady's retired, you don't have to worry about Tampa.
Maybe he was looking at – maybe it wasn't an option because maybe the Saints weren't going to do a deal with an NFC South team. Yeah. But it does – this is what I wonder. I wonder if Sean Payton, part of what the reason why he finally accepted the job and took the gig is he needed an understanding from new ownership.
That he could get rid of him.
Yes, who didn't give Russ this contract. Yes. Hey, I need to know if this is a bag of crap in year one, that we can wash our hands and walk
away. I believe I said that before. I believe I said Sean Payton coming into Denver, you can't be married to the situation of I have to make it work with Russell Wilson. You can't be married to that. This is a golden opportunity for Sean Payton because it's not a bad team. They just weren't cohesive. It was a very they went in the opposite direction of being a cohesive team. Their defense was holding up for them all year long, and their offense terribly underperformed. So if you're looking at it from a very critical perspective, what is the one element and the one factor that kept coming up and was kept and continued to be the main focal point of why this team performed so poorly? It's your quarterback.
Yeah.
It's your quarterback and the way the games were managed, and that fell on the head coach as well. So those one of those elements is still there, and I'm totally with you on that. Like, why not put it out there like, hey, listen, there will be no office. Your quarterback coach will not be in here. Your staff will not be in here. And I needed to know before I'm coming that if this doesn't go right, you're not basing my job security off of the success or failures of one Russell Wilson.
To further your point on, at least I think, the league perception of what the issue was there in Denver, does Nathaniel Hackett get an OC job right away for a team that needs, not only needed someone to come in, but needs someone to come in, fix Zach Wilson, you know, be able to help them offensively, because that's the one thing they need there in New York. It's not their defense. Mm-hmm. It was their offensive issues. Mm-hmm. And I think if there was a perception that Nathaniel Hackett was that bad as an offensive coordinator,
then you don't,
he's not getting
pick him up. That's a great point.
But he gets picked up like that.
Great point. So it's got to be Russ.
I think that's
it's got to be Russ.
And I know some people who know Nathaniel Hackett, and there's kind of that conversation of when we get time, we'll talk about all the stuff that went on. And so clearly there's more to the story there, and I've heard some different things too out, you know, from Denver. But I just think Sean Payton is as calculated and as savvy as they come. Mm. And I think, you know, he's already using the media as a tool.
To chop his head off.
Well,
off with his head.
Yeah. I wasn't going to be that vicious.
Off with his head.
But to make a statement and to kind of make sure that everyone in Denver knows who's the head coach, who's running that building, and where the players reside, and that no one's going to be viewed. We talked about this, what, yesterday? Like, you're not going to view, you know, Russell different from anyone else in this roster.
That's it. Thank you, Russ. I don't know what's so funny, Russ. Your career could be in jeopardy here, pal. LeVar just asked you to lose your head. So I don't know what, but at least he's got Sierra.
They might make it racial, you know what I mean? I might, you know, that might come back on me. My apologies. I get my apology out already, all right? My apologies for saying off with your head.
Okay, can I also ask this, though? When Terry Bradshaw says...
That was a figure of speech.
He kind of had...
it was in a child's book, you know, or the queen used to say off with the head.
That's true.
Queen of hearts?
Queen of somewhere.
Yeah, and Alice in Wonderland. Didn't she say off with their head?
The queen of hearts.
I believe so.
Wasn't she the queen
isn't
of hearts?
A card?
It is, but it's also, in Alice in Wonderland.
Huh.
Yeah.
Bro, you didn't read
LeVar's
Alice
all
in Wonderland?
No. If it wasn't the All-22s, I wasn't interested.
Okay. Come on, what was your point? I'm sorry.
Pumping Iron. That's a great movie. I mean, we're talking about great flicks. But again,
Pumping Iron is a great flick.
Yeah.
Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger one?
Yes.
Well, yeah. my legs like, or my arms like legs, my legs like people. Is that quote? Do you remember that? Remember they're smoking weed and they're just squatting like 600 pounds.
Can you imagine what it was like to be Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s? I mean, honestly.
You try being his nanny.
Oh, God.
What? just happy Father's Day. What? I can't. But point being, as we bring it back to Sean Payton, when Terry Bradshaw says, those were the only options for him, like, he couldn't have just waited another year? Like, the Cowboys job will open up. If they fall short this year, that's going to open up. Same with the Chargers. So why was there the rush to want to take one of these jobs if these weren't ideal situations?
See, I think Dallas is set up for Dan Quinn to take over. Hmm. And with, especially with them elevating, because Brian Schottenheimer was already there as an analyst.
them elevating him to OC, even though we know McCarthy's calling the plays, I think it sets up perfectly now for who's the scapegoat. They still really Mike can't McCarthy. Move on from Dak, so it's going to be Mike McCarthy. And then you've got an experienced head coach who comes in and Dan Quinn. They love him. The defense has been great. He gives them a shot to see what he's able to do in that role.
Probably less abrasive of a personality.
Yeah, and you allow Brian Schottenheimer then to call plays. He's done it forever. Now, I know there's Dallas Cowboys fans who, you know, may question whether or not he'll be a good play caller. That's up to their opinion. But it sets up to be that for Dallas, I think, if things don't go well early on this season with Mike McCarthy next season.
You know, if you really think about it, if you look at it from a critical eye, any job that may come available next year is not going to be as attractive as Denver, if you really think about it. Because if you're able, if indeed what we spoke about is true, where he has the autonomy to be able to handle the quarterback position the way that he wants to, it's a hell of a that's a hell of a landing spot.
Yeah. Well, and the ownership group too, right?
I mean, you got resources, and it's a great network play, right?
Yep.
Beyond football, that's a hell of a network play if you have success.
What teams do you see on the hot seat starting next season? Obviously, I think
let's Dallas.
Dallas.
It's always going to be Dallas.
I mean, Tampa Bay. You could probably say with Todd Bowles if they don't do well.
Yes, Tampa Bay.
I think you could say Dennis Allen, the Saints.
You could say the Saints.
Maybe you look at Atlanta too as one.
Atlanta. The Jets, that's a good one.
Although that feels like it would be Saleh and Joe Douglas would be out.
Probably.
Because how many spins Chargers, the wheel?
The Chargers are going to be on that list. One.
The Texans just by because it's another year, you know.
I wouldn't say the Texans.
Stefanski in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland definitely.
Another one.
He's on his last leg.
Well, and they can't move on from Watson. There's too much guarantee tied up into him. So
he's on his last. That's an interest. That's a curious one because who would want that?
Right.
Who would want that job? So, all right. Then keep going because there's still more. There are more.
I would say Washington. Did we say Washington? The Commanders?
I don't know that Washington. Whoa. I don't know that he would be on the hot seat.
I don't think so.
Year.
By the way, it's the Commandos. Like we've consistently called
that. Can we clean that up in the podcast? I said Commanders. I want to apologize for that. I wanted to say Commandos.
Can you just dub that over, Commandos? Hey, yeah. Real quick, say Commandos. We'll be quiet.
Three, two, one. What about the Washington Commandos?
Oh, there you go.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. We can cut that. We can splice it in.
Clean. F8 that, Lee, if we can get that done.
Yeah, man.
We'd appreciate it.
That's $43 million. That's a
$49 million.
Jeez.
How much is his yacht, by the way, Dan Snyder?
It's what do you think that is? $100 million.
Brady, you have a yacht. How much are yachts?
I do not have a yacht. I would not buy a yacht. I've always said to people, if there's like one thing that I think is most valued is like rich people stuff, it's private planes. Like that's what I feel like when you know you made it.
Let's go live to our I
that's
Have a Thought
would like
on
be,
Yachts yeah. Insider
in that level.
Lead yeah. to laugh for the latest. Yeah. Lee?
$180 million.
For the yacht?
Yep.
How big is it? Let's get the deets.
93 meters, which is about 305 feet.
Holy God,
why is the yacht big. More expensive than the house?
The Lady S yacht.
Think about this.
Bro, that's a football field.
If it costs $180 million, think about what the maintenance of that
they
bad boy
say
is.
For
the
a boat
gas
like
and
that,
all that.
10% a year. 10% a year.
Maintenance.
Yeah. You have a full-time crew that lives on it. They're constantly doing stuff.
You have to.
You're docking. I mean, you're not just going to anchor out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
The stuff that goes wrong is expensive.
My buddies and I bought a pontoon boat, chipped in like $500 each, five of us. We called it
pontoons are dope, by the way.
They're awesome, but we called it the floating coffin because it was just a disaster. And we tried to keep it up as much as we could, and eventually it just wasn't worth it.
I was about to get a pontoon boat, and I ended up moving to L.A. And that was the only reason.
Pontoon boats are probably like the least maintenance thing there is.
It's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, you could get a pimped out one.
Would you have a 30-horsepower engine on that? I mean,
it topped out at 18 miles an hour.
Yeah.
No, the one I was looking at was
souped up.
Yeah, it was badass. I mean, it was bad.
Not the one Jonas would get though.
No.
I don't know.
His is like you don't want to take a blue light.
Well, and I need a squat rack there as well too because it doesn't matter where I am. Listen, you guys saw my power cleans.
Yeah, you gotta get down a little.
That looked more like a hang clean.
Yeah, it did look like a hang clean.
Power cleans from the floor, buddy.
Yeah.
Get your power clean.
Hang
right here.
Clean.
How about that?
That was
that
your response?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Have you figured out a joke, by the way, for Tom Cruise, Kyle Murray? Yeah, we gave you
what,
your
for his
time.
Height?
La, 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 la.
I don't know.
La, la, la.
I don't know. I don't know why.
La, 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 la. You want some ice cream? La, 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 la.
I don't know why I've been tasked with that. Like, why is that?
It's
my,
your thing.
I mean.
It's your thing.
The visual of sitting on a street curb, though, is the funniest part of it all.
No, it's, right? That's like the one group that you actually go after that I'm always worried about,
like
your little
rascals.
It's a joke. Come on, man.
I know, these but are, I'm saying, like, yeah. You go after that group and you feel like there's no repercussions.
The little rascals.
That's he
not
does.
True. No, that's
la,
good.
La, la.
First of all, like, horse jockey jokes are different.
Why? Why?
Okay.
Why?
What's
you're riding a stupid animal.
Dang.
Horses Remember, are dumb.
Horses are
no, they're
actually
not.
Smart.
They're really
they're
smart.
They're very smart.
What are you talking about?
They let dwarfs ride on their back in circles.
Oh,
and then,
sounds magical.
And then what's their prize? They get a bouquet of roses that somebody bought at like a Safeway for $10.
They get studded out.
They get studded out.
About?
They don't get any of that money.
They get
not the money.
They
it's
get
the pleasure.
The horse.
Yeah.
What do you mean by studded out?
Are you being serious?
What happened?
Why is your face like twitching like that? Why do you
what
want
happens?
To smile but try to keep the smile off your face?
What happens?
Yeah. I'll put it this way for you, that you understand. They look at that pepper mill as a seat. You know, that's usually.
Them jockeys, them good jockeys, man, in their ear like, hey, man, you better win. You better win. Lucy's waiting for you.
That looks terrible.
Lucy's waiting for you.
You look like the Chargers security guard. That looks terrible.
Oh, man, come on, we got to win.
All right, we're going to get kicked out.
I'm going to get the money. You get the girl.
We're really going to get kicked out. Who's going to kick us out right now? There's no one here.
Let's go.
Oh, my God.
War emblem.
Hey, Ken, our engineer, I want to apologize. I want to apologize, Ken. Things are off the rails here.
Brown.
Oh, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, Lee, you can't just help yourself to everybody else's equipment. By the way, Lee literally is just going from table to table grabbing whatever he wants.
Well, it's almost like a booby trap, though. Like, it's facing us.
Someone left their alarm clock.
Yeah.
They left their alarm clock.
And it's beeping.
Yeah.
At an hour where they're nowhere to be found.
By the way, they live in the Central Time Zone. I don't know who's... booth that is, because it's set for
seven.
It's 6 years.
So. Yeah, time zones
very
are
good. Very good observation.
Throwing you off. By the way, how are you feeling, Brady Quinn? Come from the East Coast out here.
I
know you're a big fan of Super Bowls out on the West Coast, so a huge fan of it.
Hey, the weather's nice. I've enjoyed Phoenix for the little bit that I've seen.
But
I just think it throws a wrench in the whole thing. It does.
Bit of a wrench just gets thrown in. By the way, it is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here. You can listen to this show on the iHeartRadio app, and you can find us on hundreds of affiliates all across the country, and wherever the hell you are, making us a part of your Wednesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We'll take you all the way up through the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific. We are live at Radio Row at the Super Bowl in Arizona, and we bring it to you live here from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. So we've got some over-unders coming up here shortly as we're sprinkling in 5 a day all the way up until the Super Bowl. So we got more of that coming up here in just a few moments from now. But as we sit here, Wednesday before the Super Bowl, anybody got an angle or a storyline or a thought about the Super Bowl that hasn't been hit on yet? Or are we pretty much exhausted at this point now that we're looking at Nick Sirianni getting revenge over losing his job 10 years ago?
One thing we haven't discussed, and I don't know if you guys think it'll matter or not, but, you know, the Chiefs have had the most snaps played by rookies all year of any team.
Hmm.
The Eagles have had the fewest.
Hmm.
So they're it's two completely different rosters when you look at how they're built. And so I tend to lean on, like, watching what happened last year in the Super Bowl, more of a veteran roster and guys for the Rams and how that worked out, similar to the Eagles, almost in how they set up for this. And then you had a Bengals team that none of those dudes had been to a Super Bowl, right? And so not saying that will necessarily play out in this game, But I do think that's there is something to that. There's something to the fact that what we say, you're like, oh, well, only seven players are from that last Super Bowl roster. Here's the reality. It's like seven starters of the guys that were with that last Super Bowl team that are still in the Eagles. So there's a lot to that when you think about the fact you got 22, and that was back in 2016. You still got seven of those guys still around. That's pretty meaningful.
Who do you think is going to have more fans out here?
Philly.
You think so?
Not even close.
Hmm. Shorter trip, though, for KC.
It is, but from what I've seen out and about already, it's been Philly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a storyline to think about and to take into consideration is Jonathan, you know, Gannon. Yeah, I think so, because while we're looking at a defense, who he's the DC for the Eagles, you know, we know these coaches by name. We know Sirianni now by name. We know Andy Reid by name.
Yeah.
We know the defensive coordinator at Spagnuolo for Kansas City. We know these names.
Spagnuolo.
We know these names, but we don't know Gannon. And they've
Gannon.
Had
no.
And we yeah.
It'd be Gannani.
Oh. That's a good point.
Gannani.
That's
a good point. Gianni, right?
Gannani.
Anyway, for all of the success that they've had, I think the storyline has to be you guys are outrageously out of control right now. And if you want to see the outrageousness that goes on, I mean, check us out on YouTube. I mean, or we live stream on Fox. Yeah, we're live streaming.
Hey.
So make sure, you know, you check out Jonas Knox pulling his pea shooter out on me and while I'm in the middle of a thought.
LeVar used to blow dart for my face in the middle of a segment earlier.
Yes.
Today?
Yes.
Did I miss this?
I did blow dart him. I did. In the face. Yeah, I did get him in the face.
Brady got you good yesterday, though. That's that military background, because he knew exactly where to hide.
He did.
Proper positioning.
He gave himself cover.
Yeah. I was more curious to see LeVar's reaction, because he's like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah. And then when I got hit, you know, I felt like I got weak in my knees and I almost fell down. And yeah, it was interesting. But, no, I really think this is a storyline worth thinking about, is that we ran off the names of the teams that they've played over, like, the last month and a half.
Yeah.
And while you could sit there and say, you know, Gannon and company have been overachieving all season long, have done some tremendously great things. This is a 40-year-old defensive coordinator. And you could say that there is a lack of experience connected to I wouldn't say that. You could say there is a lack of experience here for this defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And if there's one, and we also brought up the idea and the fact that Andy Reid, when given more than 1 week to prepare, is pretty money with how he's able to game plan. I think that that's a storyline that really should be taken into serious consideration, because you're going to have to adjust to what the game plan is that Andy Reid brings, because he probably has one to two that he's going to bring to the table to try to confuse a young, aspiring defensive coordinator.
I think if you're looking at the field being tilted, it to your point, it is the experience of Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, for that matter, in Super Bowls, calling plays as, you know, offensive mind, defensive mind, compared to Philly, right? Both these coordinators are young. You don't know how they're going to handle things when they get into it. I remember back with the Patriots-Rams first Super Bowl with McVay, he was so conservative early on in that game, and in part because of what New England did.
Yeah,
they came out in a lot of bare fronts, five-man fronts, and he was like, we haven't seen this from them all year, at least not to this magnitude.
I think he was mic'd up and he said, they're doing what Chicago did to us. Like, literally said it out loud.
How'd that game work out for Chicago?
Well, they beat the Rams that year. They did. Yeah. But the playoff game, the Bears lost. Yeah. But, you know. But that, I remember him being mic'd up and he just
was in the playoffs that year?
Yeah.
You sure?
That was the Cody Parkey.
Oh, yeah, the double doink.
But he pointed that out, though. He was like, they just didn't expect it at all.
No, and that's, I mean, for people who are listening, you don't know. It, usually when you get those bare fronts, those five-man fronts, it eliminates a lot of your run game. You know, you're gonna get out of certain run calls because you can't necessarily work a double team up to the second level. Some offensive line coaches, you know, either don't like the matchup or they don't like how it presents. So you go to basically a list of about five plays that you'll be able to run, depending on the offensive system, depending on what you're doing. Usually some outside zone schemes, some other stuff. But bottom line is, to that point, you just don't know what Spagnuolo and Reed are going to do and then how those guys are going to react off it, because it's always a game of adjustments.
And by the way, if people don't like Nick Sirianni's attitude, just what if he wins?
Yeah.
It's going to go to the next level.
And that's,
buckled at the parade and pissing everybody off. So just get ready. If you're not a fan of his behavior, you're probably not going to be a fan if they win this game.
I got to hang out with him the night when he found out he was becoming the head coach. So he married into a family of a buddy of mine. And so I get to see him down in South Florida.
Just now
marriages
drops this
and
up.
Stuff like that connected to your family is crazy, man.
He married into a buddy of mine's. He married a buddy of mine. They both married into that family. So like they both married the two daughters, whatever. But they came by the house because he was a wide receivers coach in Kansas City in 2012 when I was with him. And so we got to know each other. He's a great guy. He's a great coach. What people don't understand is like, he's passionate, man, and his dad surviving multiple bouts with cancer has played a large role in why he's so passionate about things and how he lives life. But he cares. He's a grinder. And I think the thing that like you see now more and more in sports, and especially with coaching, is these guys want you to be relatable. Mm-hmm. And he is that. Like, he connects with them on a genuine level. Like,
yeah,
he didn't take that job and try to be someone he's not.
Right.
Like, that's what I love about him, is what you see is what he is. He's not putting that on for the camera, putting that on to be someone he's not. Like, he is genuinely like that. He's genuinely got a chip on his shoulder since he was at Mount Union playing wide receiver back during his college days in Ohio. Like, he's got that sort of stuff to him. So I appreciate it. I love it. And I think the players all connect with him on that, in that way, because he's not a young guy who took the job and was like, oh, now I need to be like this. He is who he is.
This is going to be a culture.
You guys have
game.
A couple while you were hanging out that night.
we had a drink when he came in, but he had already had a number before that. So yeah. He was excited. We actually FaceTimed one of my old coaches, one of his old colleagues. Yeah. So it was great. He was still in the playoffs at that point, and so it was not great because of the day and the hour that we were FaceTiming, but he was still up.
So can he come on? Like, tell him to come on the show. He's in town.
Yeah. No, I think he's got a Super Bowl.
Why would you do that?
He really wants to come on.
Why would you take it down that lane, Jonas?
Well, I mean, we'd have to move Albert Breer. So
Will we shoot him?
Got to be flexible. Yeah,
drinking so much, Albert Breer might have been there that night.
Wow.
I'll say this, man. All I'll say is, for that Ohio State alumni group, like, they'll teach you how to drink in Columbus. They teach them how to drink. That's an underrated drinking party school.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw one more thing out there before we go to break. After, you know, visiting the family deal of Nick Sirianni.
It's just unbelievable.
I think it's pretty dope.
He's got a story. He knows. He's connected. You're maybe the most connected person I've
ever
met.
You're pretty connected, dude, man.
It's not true.
You
it's
and Lee.
Family. You know?
Lee's got connections to Hollywood. You got connections to sports.
Kind of interesting.
Man.
It is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I think my last point, too, the storyline of this is when you think about going into this game, you mentioned the idea of the beer front, stuff like that. It'll be interesting to see how, like, I recall a defensive scheme where to stop the run but still be able to play the pass, you put the middle linebacker into the line of scrimmage. Like, you put him into the gap that he would be filling in a run.
Yeah.
And you take your weak side linebacker and you stack him behind, like just a little bit behind and offset to the center, so that linebacker has the ability to read and react against the run. And if it becomes a pass, he's still freed up to be able to cover the pass.
Right.
And then you use your safety as the weak side linebacker, which – in most cases, your strong safety is basically a glorified linebacker as well. So I would be interested to see, do they play around with the fronts? A bare front may hurt you unless you're trying to use your defensive ends. And I know this is football talk, but I think that it'd be pretty interesting to see if you're putting your defensive ends in situations where they cover the backs. They will throw the ball to the backs, so but they don't run heavy, right? Oh, well, excuse me. Let me go back to this. Looking at it from the Eagles' perspective, that's going to be interesting to see how they do it, right?
Right.
But for the Eagles and coming into this game, to know that you don't have very many guys to cover, do you take the chance on being able – well, you know, I guess you don't have to worry about stopping the run. But I would probably sell out to pressure because I only feel like I have to cover one guy.
Edwards-Helaire's back, right?
He's back. He's on the active roster. Although Pacheco's had such an impact, I'd have to think him and McKinnon, the way they can catch the ball out of the backfield, those guys end up being the matchup and try to get T.J. Edwards in space, who's missed some tackles in the NFC Championship game. I would just think Jonathan Gannon feels good about how they match up versus everyone, even Kelsey. Because I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he's the type of guy that they can put on a tight end and let him lock him down. Like, he's that type of player for Philly. So I think there's a lot of matchup, I don't want to say issues for KC, because Patrick Mahomes ultimately is the equalizer. But I think Philly should feel really good about when they look across what they're lining up against, they've got answers.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.